Hallelujah. Well, good morning. Thank you, Lord. And as even as we reflect, and sometimes, you know, there's a somber moment in reflection, and it's good to honor that we don't lose our joy. You know, we let the Lord do the good plowing in our life, but we focus so much on the good times, and there's so many good times ahead. Aren't you glad today is not your last day on earth? Hey? Aren't you glad you woke up this morning? You're here. Thank you, Lord. That's something to celebrate. Some of you are celebrating. I don't know. And, Lord, we just thank you. Just hijack this meeting. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness that we don't have to do church as normal. Because it doesn't exist. Lord, you have your way in our life, that you're doing something far beyond what we can see or touch. I thank you, Lord, every time we name your name, I know that nothing never happens. Something always happens. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I don't know whether I'm going to show that video first or not, Mark. I don't know if we're going to go first or last. I don't even know what's on that video. That's what's scary. Talk about a man of faith. Holy dooly. Who made that video, Brett? You did. Oh, I trust him. Okay. So last week, all the technical ability I had, which is 1 millisecond, went out the window, and I wanted to show just a bit of what happened on that Fiji trip. And last Sunday night, we shared the Philippine team and the Fiji team. We just had an amazing time, and I'm getting ready to go again in June 3rd, taking another team. Taking 8 ladies from and a couple people from here. But hallelujah, love mothers, but I'm taking 8 women from Wollongong. And some of you might have remembered Brendan Elliott, who is an underground coal mining Sparky. He now is senior pastor of a C3 church. And we love the C3. We love the AOG. We love the Methodists and the Anglicans and the Catholics and everybody. Do you know that about this church? I don't know where you are from or know where you're sitting, but we love everybody who names the name of Jesus. That's why we're calling it Kingdom Life. It's about kingdom. It's not about the name on the building. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Get excited. Do something. Wave to yourself or something. Make sure you're awake. Anyway, I'm taking these wonderful 8 ladies I've known for about 13 years. I think I've been preaching there for 13 years, and Brendan's like a son, and some others. But this is what happened, a bit of what happened. Can't share everything that happened and take so many different components to show. But Mark, if you just want to show that, take it just about 4 minutes.
You couldn't even stand up without pain before,
yeah,
could you?
Sometimes it's very hard to stand
up. Yeah.
And
can you stand up for us now? Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Your name?
Gabby.
And what was your problem?
Liver problem.
Had a boil in the liver, and you had pain before we prayed,
yeah,
didn't?
Yeah.
And have you got pain now?
No. Yeah.
It's all gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
What's your name? And before we came here today, you had a problem?
Yeah.
Yeah, did you have pain in your stomach? Yeah. And just after we prayed, what happened? Yeah. And I saw you had tears in your eyes, and you just felt Jesus touch you, didn't you? Yeah. Because you had some pain in your knee, is that right? Yeah. And what happened?
just a relief from the pain after the prayers.
You had relief from the pain, and you don't have any pain at all now, so you could take that bandage off.
No worries, eh? Sang it on it. Hey, juice.
Nada para los chinos, sala.
This afternoon.
Yeah?
That you are the.
Yes, yes, yes.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the healing power.
Jesus,
this is the famous dancing pastor. You can see why. He used to dance like this in the nightclubs, and he said, if I could do it in nightclubs, I'm doing it for Jesus. So, Pastor Joe.
Here at the bus station?
Yes.
And what was wrong?
My back was paining.
You had pain in your back?
Yeah.
For how long?
See, about 6 months.
About 6 months, yeah. And how bad was the pain?
Very bad.
Very bad, yeah. And how does it feel now?
It's very good now.
You had pain in your shoulder?
Yeah, before it was painful. Now it's very good.
Now it's really good. Yeah, Gloria just prayed for you and it's really good.
Yeah.
You're all healed. Jesus just healed you. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, you feel good. Do you have any pain in your body at all?
No.
It's all gone. You've all been healed.
Yeah.
You know who just healed you?
Yeah.
Jesus.
I'm very happy.
Yes,
yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus.
King Solomon.
King Solomon, that's right. You look like a king. And you had a problem with your shoulder?
Yeah.
And then Jess come and prayed for you, and now it's all good.
Good.
Could you do that before? Could you do that without pain? It's all good. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Before we prayed, you had a problem with your knee, did you?
Yeah. I do.
Yeah. And you had pain in your knee? And after we prayed, what happened?
It's all okay.
It's all good. Jesus just healed you.
Yeah.
Adopted called Vunayasi. It's the poorest school in the district. 95% of the adults don't have jobs. Goodbye. We got to pray over every one of those children and prophesy, and they felt the presence of God. First time the school let me do that, so glory to God. Hallelujah. You can do better than that. There's a bunch of people that don't have pain that got saved. You see in that video that family, three generations converted to Christ. They were Hindus. When the team walked in, they left, and they stayed Christian. Hallelujah. So it's a wonderful testimony. Thanks, Brett, for doing that. And thanks, everybody, for your graciousness to watch that. Papa, we just thank you that today we can know you in relationship through Jesus. We just ask, Lord God, that we would be plowed in our heart to know you more. And, Lord, to receive the word that you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen. There's I'm glad you showed that scene of the school. There's a little kid with a tambourine. And I just want you to think of him for a second. He was in the front row, and he's kind of in kindergarten. I have a mother. She's not here. She's in America. And happy Mom's Day, Mother's Day, Mom, when you listen to this with Dad. The one thing that my mom would always tell me is, no matter what, you have to obey Jesus. I can remember being 5 years old, and my mom sitting me down, and we were playing catch. My dad was away so much, even though he was a coach. My mom's the one that taught me how to throw and catch and play ball, and we were throwing around this ball, and I remember her discussing with me the importance of obedience. I remember it really clear. And I remember her saying, no matter who doesn't or does, whoever does the right thing or doesn't, you have to obey Jesus. And I remember her several times when I would come in to the house and I would call to her and I couldn't find her and she was in the bedroom on her knees weeping or praying and reading scripture and quoting and declaring over my dad's life, over my life. And she's a real woman of devotion and prayer and a woman I consider as an obedient person of Christ. That little boy, and I can't think of his first name right this second, but when I stood up and I was standing there and I was waiting for the kids. I had stood up at this point, and they were singing, and he kind of was doing his tambourine and stopped, and there's this nice little hump I've been given from medical practice, and he kind of went, fram, fram, and he kind of sat back down and smiled, and I thought, man, that's not a puppy. That's me, you know? And then he kind of smiled and goes, fram, fram. And I thought, we're in a game. I don't want to play right now, but we're going to go with it. You know, be nice to the natives. Okay. So I thought, that's really interesting because usually they're really, you know, respectful, and it takes a little while for them to get used to you. And the Lord says, you have to be bold to reach out and touch me. I want you to be bolder to reach out and touch me. I want you to explore who I really am. And that little act of that little guy in that video really just, wow, just went into my heart. And I feel like that, you know, there's a season we're in that God's really drawing us in to reach out, to actually, can I say, go against tradition and cultural norms and things that hold us back, to reach out and explore Jesus more than we have. To see the thing before us and to ask questions of why and when and how and where. And if I could say, be more childlike than we ever have. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Is that, you know, God's requiring us to be a people of obedience more than ever. There's so many people in church ranks say it's about faith. It's faith, 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 faith. And it is about faith. But it's not just faith alone. I was talking to Bruce Kerr, and I had to do some training this Thursday at another school that a church runs just down the road. And it's at Suncoast, actually. And Bruce Kerr accompanied me, and we were talking in the car, and it just went along with what I wanted to share this morning, is that you look at Hebrews chapter 11, and we call it what? The wall of faith, or the chapter of faith, the heroes of faith. But there's not one person in that chapter 11 that didn't obey. Because faith without works, or faith really leads us to what? Obedience. That's what Scripture says. And so, you know, we, you know, I come from ranks. You know, I was Catholic and raised Catholic and found the Holy Spirit in Catholicism ranks and Jesus in those ranks. And I'm so appreciative of that. But, you know, God plunged me into ranks where there's the prophetic and healing and the belief that tongues is for today, interpretation of tongues and wisdom and the gift of faith and performing of miracles, working of miracles, diverse kinds of healings at a young age. And I'm thankful for that because I wouldn't be who I was and being able to be in this position to share with you from experience, not just head knowledge. But in our ranks, that, you know, we set up to get, you know, we want a word from the Lord. How many want a word from Jesus? And God uses people to give us a word. Word of knowledge, a prophetic word. But here's the thing is that sometimes we set up people to be prophetic junkies. Well, I got a word yesterday. Okay. I got a word last year. Great. I got a word 10 years ago. Awesome. What have you done to obey that word? We're not trying to collect words just to have words. There's a reason why God has a word and a plan and a destiny, and he would speak a word over you. And it's so that you can obey to release the favor of heaven that is actually given to your life. He wants to release more favor on you. So we hear the call for salvation. Here's my question to you. What have you done to obey his call that you need Jesus and only Jesus? Because a Hindu will take Jesus amongst his other gods. Doesn't count. You have to forsake all others, and it can only be him. You know, the scripture talks about, you know, we have to have faith and put it in him. He gives me the faith. Anyway, I put it back in him so that I can obey the way he wants me to live. And that way he wants me to live is very fun. It is very joyous and filled with laughter. You know, I submit to you that if you're not laughing enough, you're focused on the wrong thing in your belief system. You should be the happiest you can be in Jesus. If you found all the rules and regulations to stop you and all the don'ts, I'm going to tell you, you got the wrong Christianity. There's a lot of do's. And here's the big do. Love God, love people. You know, people tell me all the time, dude, that is just so simple. Aha. Correct. It can't be that simple, but it is. Humanity has a wonderful way of gumming up the works, making it complicated. Here, carry this. Here, wait a minute, hold that. Carry this. Just put that down. Put that on your back. Here, carry these two things. Wear these type of shoes. Don't, get rid of the earrings. Stop dancing. Just carry that and be happy. Complicated, man. Spin around, turn around, pick a bell out, and bark at the moon on Thursdays. You know, what are we doing? It's about obedience. Hey? Jesus says in John 12:49, I didn't speak with my own words. I spoke with the words of the Father. John 5:19 says, he could only do what he saw his Father doing. The Father and him were one. Now we have in John chapter 2, we got Jesus' mother. Happy Mother's Day. He didn't thought, how are you going to bring Mother's Day thing in here? Well, Jesus had a mother. Name was Mary. She was picked from the Lord's plan. And in John chapter 2, we have a marriage. And we're going to have the first miracle performed by Jesus in the launch of his ministry. And we had a problem in this marriage. I don't know if you've ever had this problem, but they ran out of wine. Some people, that's a big problem. In a wedding, that's a major issue. It's a major cultural issue in the ranks of Jews back in this day. It would be a terrible stigma and shame to this family, to the families, and to this couple. And in, you know, we see the mother interacting, Mary's interacting with Jesus, and he's asking her questions. You know, it's not my time. And she turns, being, you know, one who had allowed Jesus to be trained for 30 years in the way he should go. Jesus was a carpenter's what? Son. Jesus was a carpenter's son. But he was trained Rabboni. He was a teacher of teachers. Jesus was a trained teacher of the word. And she allowed that to happen. He should have been a carpenter's son and a carpenter only by Jewish tradition. His cousin John the Baptist was trained in a weird way. He was sent out in the wilderness to get his training to be the priest unto the Father God. His high priest father should have trained him in synagogue, but let him go out to wilderness. So we have a family pattern of obedient to the will of the Father, not to the succumbing to the tradition and the pressure of man. Uh-oh. Jesus would have been cut. He would have been buff. He would have been all that and a bag of chips. He didn't work with wood. He was a stonemason. You start reading, you know, historical account, he would have had work with wood, but the dude was hewning rock. He would have been chiseled. And, you know, he talks with this wonderful mother of his, and she says this to the servants. Good morning, servants of Jesus this morning in Flame Tree Church. She says, do whatever he says to do. She says this, obey him whatever he tells you to do. The same message this morning, everybody. Same message. What happens? Well, there's this amazing miracle that releases and launches and puts, you know, him on the course that God had for him. Jesus, with the Father and the Holy Spirit, you know, made man. They made all creation. And there's just so much misnomer. There's just so much shonky teaching out there that Old Testament is just total law and New Testament's all grace. But that's not what Scripture says. It's all grace. Jesus was a greater grace sent. You read in your Bible, in John, you read 16:16. It talks about, it says, in John chapter, where am I? 1:16. There we go. In 17, it says, for of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Grace was always there in the Old Testament. He gave the law because he loved people to obey the law. And he knows that the Ten Commandments were just, there's no way. So he made it simple. Gave us two. Love God, love people. Love God, love your neighbor. And what's he require of us to do in that? Obey. Above all else, it takes faith to believe. It takes love as our motive. God is love. Okay, so all those that don't love, they can't be born of God. 1 John 4:7-8. But it's a faith that leads us to this wonderful obedience. And it's not burdensome, everyone. It's not a drudgery to follow Jesus. You can do it with a smile on your face. Smile on your dial all the time. You definitely can do it with a fire of joy in your stomach, even though we heard the prophetic word, there are dark times. But he's a spark, everybody. He's a spark that lights me up. I don't know about you, but my choice is that I'm going to obey him whether or not he leads me to my death today. As he will, no doubt, in some believers in Syria and Iraq who have a different perspective today. John 15:14 says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command. I want to be the friend of God. Oh, wait a minute, but I don't want to do what you command. Well, I can't be the friend of God then. Yeah, but I don't want to accept Jesus because I want to do it at my own strength. Well, sorry. It doesn't get it done. Yeah, I want Jesus, but I don't want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's messy. I don't understand the tongues. I don't understand the healing. Sorry, man. He's given us a lifestyle on earth to live with a baptism and fire in our life and evidence of those that believe to follow us. Sorry, I didn't make the rule. I didn't make the lifestyle. We're just trying to promote living the lifestyle. Water baptism. I don't like water. I'm like a cat. I don't really, you know, what, man, you got to get dunked. Sorry, sprinkling don't do it. I was 3. Awesome. Do it when you're 30. 13. 6. 106. Get dunked, man. Today after service, we're going to have 2 water baptisms. 2 lovely young women, Peta and Christina, are going to get dunked in water today as an outward expression of an inward obedience. A love relationship that started. They said yes to Jesus, and today they're going to be dead and buried and rose again and on that water. Hallelujah. They're going to connect with what happened thousands of years ago. And you can say, well, how can that happen? Exactly. That's what I'm saying. He said, no. I said, how can that happen? Right. That's exactly right how that can happen. God is God, and he's above time. He actually made time. And I'm going to tell you something. Time's running out. Time's running out. It's not a time to go AWOL. Don't go wacko. Don't go trapo on Jesus right now. Don't do it. Don't do it. Stay in him, everybody, because there's no other life. There's no other way. You know, how about, I'll say it just the way that I said it in Suncoast. I don't care. I have a job today. Maybe not tomorrow. So this is what it says. He's, you know, in, he says, hey, who do people say I am? And they say, well, it's a prophet. It's, you know, you're Jeremiah, you're Elijah, John the Baptist. John the Baptist. John the Baptist has got his head taken off. That's a pretty miraculous thought to think he's John the Baptist. You think about that. He just got the head lopped off. What are people thinking? How can he be John the Baptist? Anyway, side note. Who do you say I am? Well, you're the Son of the Living God. Okay. John 6:66, Jesus says a hard saying. My flesh and blood, right? No quantifying. He just throws it out there. Hey, my flesh and blood. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. What are you talking about? You know, the guy that has lost it, and many leave him, it says. And what happens? Jesus gets all upset. There goes his ministry, naming lights. You know, this is going to be stopping of the writing of the New Testament. He says, hey, boys, you going to go? And Peter says, you got to be kidding. We're stuck. I'm sure you use different vernacular. Because you're the only way. There's nothing to go back to. There's nothing else. Like it or lump it, you're it. Whether we understand or whether we don't. Here's the thing that happens in the West. We think we have to understand before we obey. Now, I'm here by choice. I'm Australian by choice. And I fought with the Lord tenaciously. I put up a great fight. I fought with everything I could. And the Lord really was requiring of me not to like it in entirety, not to understand it, not to come up with the idea. He was just saying, obey it. And in that obedience, it's amazing. He changes your heart to like what he's obeyed you to do. He has this amazing thing to change you, to rearrange you, to satisfy the longings of our heart with something that you never thought you'd do. Never thought Fiji. I just heard the audible voice of God January 2012, and all it said was, Fiji. What do you do with that? So I called Bill Furler. I figured he'd know. What do you do with that, Bill? I think you better go to Fiji. Oh, okay. You know, it sounded simple. Had no idea what God was setting me up to. Had no idea the people I'd fall in love with. I'd fall in love with here to try to get us out of our comfort zone, get away from the phone. Thank you, Jesus. The computer, the download of the world to see us engage. I don't know. Does that look like fun to you to see how many? That's nothing to the volume of people getting healed and set free and delivered and saved. But here's the thing: it's for Australia. It's for Aussie. It's for Kiwiland. And all the nations. It has nothing to do with the place. It's the place is found in Him, in obedience. Whether it's to stay somewhere geographically or move from that place. Whether it's to invest or sell or buy or build or tear down, it doesn't matter. It's to obey Him. To obey His voice is everything. And sometimes to obey His voice, it will be the complete opposite of your tribe of counselors. You know, the caramel latte with a little on top club that got all the answers for you. Oh, don't do that. Why? It doesn't sound like a good idea. What? We're going to not do it because you think it doesn't sound like a good idea. That's not good counsel. What does Jesus say? How long you sought the Lord for? What's your confirmation scripture? What's your spirit tell you? Do you have peace to do it or not? The whole problem with not obeying is we're in soul power. Do you know what soul power is? Witchcraft. Uh-oh. That's what soul power is. To do something that God doesn't call me to do, or to do the opposite, is called what? Rebellion. And rebellion is as the sin of what? Witchcraft. So my soul tells me it's not what I want to do. It's not what I feel. It's not what I think. Wait a minute. Have you ever hung out with Jesus? This is awesome. He's funny because he's under the impression he's God. He's got this wonderful impression. Hey, I'm God, you know. Remember, you know, I made you. I like you. I love you. Okay? And is what he says. I'm going to give you this thing. Here's the thing. I'm going to give you a free will. Here you go. Here's a free will. Right? We all got a free will. Say the word no. Oh, that was pitiful. Say no. Say yes. There you go. Right? So you chose for me to say that, and you chose to say it. That's free will. But in Jesus, here's the thing. The more you hang out with Jesus, this wonderful thing happens. All of a sudden, day after day, there's less of you. You realize that it's not my will. Paul says, hey, it's not my will. It's not my effort. It's not my good idea. It's not my good thinking. It's your will. And what happens is you transfer your will and place it in His will, and you find out that your free will is there to put it in His will. And sometimes He leads you down the garden path. Wait, dude. Like, I just got water baptized, Father, and the Holy Spirit descended on me, and He actually stayed on me, but we're going in the desert. Matthew 4. He just got here. Woo! Got the download of downloads. Holy Ghost, Ruach HaKodesh. Here He is. Boom, lighted on Him. And He's leading him in the desert to be tempted by Satan himself, fasting 40 days and 40 nights. Oh, what, dude? Wait, I signed up for the... Hey, Jesus, I signed up to obey you with the Rose Without Thorn program. You know, I was on the A list. I was on the top of the list. Remember that? I signed up. David Fenton, no thorns. Thank you. Just grab onto that rose. Ooh, look, no stick, no blood. Oh, you know. What's happened is, everybody, in some way, in our ranks, we are producing wimpy Christians. That every wind of doctrine, every blow of the wind of life that's not pleasant, I'm out of here, dude. You know what? There's not a real God. Why? Because I got a flat tire. Well, that's my job, so He's not a provider. This message will preach because it's reality. If we think tough time is Satan and all of his horde that just too powerful. Whoa. I'm not following Satan. I'm following Jesus. And everything that happens, everybody, has to go through this desk called veto or no veto. And Jesus is right there with a big stamp saying, yep, let it go. Nope, you can't do that. So, does he cause you to be sick? No. But he allows the enemy for a short time to be the prince of the air. And what goes along with that deal is debt, distraction, depression, suicide, separation, divorce, and the things that we actually are set apart to obey Christ to go into a situation and bring life and build up and restore and reconcile. 1 John 3:8, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and he's using you in your obedience to his life to still destroy works of the devil, not only in your life, but your neighbor this morning sitting right next to you, behind you, in front of you. Romans 1:5, through him and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. Faith leads us to obedience. It's just not, just doesn't leave us just in faith. If there's no obedience, then there's no works. Faith without works is dead. There has to be an obedient end in our faith. What's he calling you today? What's he calling you to? What are the prophetic words over your life? What's his salvation look extended to you? How about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? How about water baptism? How about reading his word? Not because of a religious act, because it's life. It's the very source of life. It's health to my bones. What about worshiping him? When that little voice says, hey, raise your hands. I've never raised my hands. Raise your hands. You know, people are just funny. You know, they want grandiose victory. They want public victory. You know, you get saved and I'm going to take this nation. I'm going to have 1 million souls. I'm going to have a crusade of 15 million people. And I'm going to have a church of 36 million. What a nightmare, dude. I don't know. I don't want that. Anyway, but that's not a dream. That's a nightmare to me. But anyway, you know, the grandiose thing. Do you know what I'm, saying? But private victory leads to public victory. When God says, hey, open the door for your wife. When he says, cook your husband's favorite meal and just love on him. You know, the little acts of obedience lead a pathway of favor to open us up. It really is true to have a pathway to see some public victories. Now, we all want to see, you know, the dead raised and the lame walk and the blind see. I hope. I hope you do. Because that is part of, intrinsic, it's part of all believers' life. That's for you. It doesn't matter what your native tongue is. Doesn't matter the skin color. But, you know, there are acts of obedience. God's calling and nudging and embracing and loving you into. And some of you have maybe had a prophetic word you're fighting. Because I know, I could point you out, I'm not going to. But I see people here, you're here for Mother's Day because it was the wish of maybe your mom to come, or maybe you're blessing your mom to be in church this morning. Well, welcome to the hijack show of Jesus Christ, because you're here because Jesus wanted you, not a natural person. And there's some of you sitting in here, you actually have a call of God on your life. Maybe not to have a church preaching, but your lifestyle to preach the truth. And some of you are running away with everything that's in your heart. It takes obedience to turn the other way. Why would I say that? Because the body of Christ needs you. And for you people who come every Sunday and it's the same old, get over it, man. It ain't the same old. It ain't just another Sunday. It's the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. It's fresh bread today. He's called me to obey him and his voice, to hear his voice. I must hear his voice myself to know where he wants to lead me and take me. Stop holding out, man. Stop reverting to religion. Not about religion. God hates religion. James 1:27 tells us what the pure religion is: to take care of the widow and the orphan, take care of the stranger. He's looking for obedience, man. So I build because God tells me to build. I don't build because the consensus in the GFC is now in a downturn. You buy because God leads you. You sell because God leads you. You know, it's an amazing story. Amy Simple McPherson, she built the Los Angeles Temple with cash in the greatest depression ever known to humanity with the poor. She built the greatest building ever built with cash during the greatest depression. Thank God she didn't listen to the coffee caramel latte with soy on the side club. Or look in the New York Times for her, you know, or think that it's good history. Everybody, it's good news. It's not good history. It's good news today. He has a download for you to obey. And if you've been disobedient, just ask for forgiveness and start obeying. It's that simple. Ask him for a spirit of repentance. If you, you know, if you keep doing this to him, do the same motion, just turn your hand and start to grab. Pull them in. Be like the little kid. Ramp, ramp. Touch them, but just hang on. Just pull them in close because it's the only thing that's going to save our life. It's the only hope for this nation and any nation that exists today or is soon to be created. This is the hope of a people who were not a people, but now they are. That's you and I. Let's pray. Jesus, you are so amazing. There's no one like you. Nothing like you. You got this wonderful plan called destiny. And Lord, you hijack our schedules. You place us in places where we try to run and really realize we can't. And Lord, there's just sometimes so much of us in the way. Help us become less and less. Help us turn to you and put everything we have in you. Lord, all the destinies, all the dreams, all the prophetic words that have been spoken or sent or delivered or, Lord, have not yet been received. Lord, everything of you would you fulfill in everybody's life in this room. May, Lord, we be people that have a heart just to obey. We thank you for the faith you give us. We put it in you, but, Lord, we just want to be obedient. And, Lord, we know that'll cost us everything, not just something. And Lord, help us embrace that more and more, that we are willing to give up all to be made like you. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we are going to have prophetic ministry over here. There'll be teams there. If you're looking to be encouraged, comforted, edified through the word of prophecy, that'll be over there. There's teams waiting. We'll be waiting here to pray with you. Any type of prayer need you have. If you want to get saved today, today's the day of salvation. Get saved, man. How do you get saved? Call upon the name of the Lord. His name is Jesus. I'll tell you who the Lord is. Jesus Christ. There is no other. Just get saved, man. Just give him up. You know, just take that plunge in the deep end of him. If you want to get water baptized, I did one water baptism once, and all these kids got fired up when they went in their street clothes. It was awesome. It was an awesome time. Might not have come ready, but you want to get water baptized. The baptismal, we're going to the creek today. We're going to the baptismal today. It's going to be in 15 minutes. As soon as I can get my boardies on, we're going. Okay? And if you have to go to dinner, and have a great mom's dinner. Have a great lunch. Enjoy your mom's life. Moms, enjoy your life. And all future moms, just enjoy and honor one another and love each other. That's great. We're going to have a service tonight at 6. And if you want to sign up for the Kingdom Life School, everything's available for you. God bless you. Have a really wonderful day, no matter what you do. Amen.